Good morning. I made a deal with Mackenzie, your keyboard player, that if she led worship barefoot, I wouldn't wear my shoes when I spoke. But I'm leaving my socks on, Mackenzie, because I'm old and my feet are cold. So my name is Mike Magnotti. I am the director of Antioch Adoptions Wenatchee, a no-fee Christian adoption agency that's been here in the Valley for actually some years, but our own office has been here since July of 2007. And part of my job is coming to speak to Christian congregations, service clubs, to spread the word about this particular ministry, because we figure there's really actually only a very small percentage, 3 to 5% of Christians in the state of Washington that even know Antioch Adoption exists and what it does. So I very much appreciate Pastor Andrew's invitation to come today. I appreciate your being willing to listen, because I've written to every church in the Valley and some others in the eastern part of the state and asked them if I could come and speak. And some of them have been very gracious and invited me, but frankly, some of them have not. And this really makes my wife angry. She figures if she has to listen to me, everybody should, but oh. The light was reflecting off that in some people's eyes. But what I did, like I said, I've written to every church in the Valley and asked them if I could come to speak. And some of them haven't invited me, and Rosie says that they should ask you to come. And I said, honey, you need to understand that pastors are very jealous and protective of their pulpit time, and some of them, frankly, just don't know me. And she said, oh, no. She said, they haven't asked you to come because they do know you. You didn't have to laugh so loud at that in the back. Okay, let's pray before we start. Lord God, you know how important this issue is to you. I just ask humbly that you would help us understand that today. As Pastor Andrew said, not everyone is called specifically to adopt or to foster care, but we are all called to care for orphans and widows. So speak to our hearts today. Let us know what we can do in this area, both to open our hearts to possibly become a foster family or a pre-adoptive family, and to support those people who have made that decision. So thank you for this. We ask your blessings on our sharing of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis. I want to speak from Genesis today. Start from the beginning, because we get a look at what God's intention for us was when we first created in the first chapter of Genesis, verses 26 to the first part of 28. When God said this, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move across the face of the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So God let us know from the very beginning that it was his intent that there be families, families with children. Now we set this up specifically because the way he made the world, the way he made us with his relationship with us, families are to reveal him. Families were created to reveal God, both to the people who were in the family, as well as to use families with children to reveal God and his nature to the world. This was his original intent and why he set it up that families would have children. Now, however, we know that not everything that happens is God's will. Now, we're not Muslims, for heaven's sakes. We know that some things happen that God did not intend. And unfortunately, there are people in this world who desire children, for whatever reason, cannot have them. There's infertility issues. There's inability to carry a baby to term when miscarriages occur. And these things are tragic, and they're contrary to what God's intent is. Now, on the other side, maybe even more tragically, there are children born into circumstances that are just plain unacceptable, circumstances which God never intended. God intended children to be loved, to be nurtured, to be brought up properly, with love and affection. And some children are born into circumstances which do not follow that pattern. And also in our society, we know that there are pregnancies that occur that are just unwanted and are tragically terminated. And maybe even more tragically, I don't know. But children, as I said, are born into unacceptable circumstances which God never intended. And because of that, we have orphans. Now, when we think about orphans, we think about China, Mexico, Ethiopia, India, and that's great because in America we have a heart for this type of thing. And many people have the resources and the time to go overseas to adopt children. But we have orphans right here in the United States. Right now in the United States, there are 115,000 of these children. However, we're not really aware of them as orphans because we don't call them orphans, do we? What do we call them? Foster children. That's right. Now, our system is set up to care for people. And we do the best we can, but it falls short of what God intended. And we don't call them orphans, we call them foster kids. But I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, in this country right now, 115,000 children who are orphans for one reason or another do not have parents, either practically or legally. In the state of Washington, at any given time, between 12 to 1,800 of these children exist. In our area, the Chelan-Douglas area, there are 20 to 30 children right now who are legally orphans. This is a tragedy. This is not God's will. But despite that, we know that maybe everything that happens isn't God's will. But God does promise us that everything that happens, He can make good. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And with this circumstance that we're faced with, people who can't have children who desire them, and children who are born in unacceptable circumstances, we see an opportunity where God can take tragedy and make good come out of it. Now, often when I look at that verse, Romans 8:28, God works together to make everything good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I sometimes look at that passively, that God is going to do everything on His own. And sometimes, indeed, that's how it works. But not always. We need to remember that when Jesus left the earth physically, He left us His Spirit, and He said it was a good thing because we are called to do the work He would do if He were here instead. And this is one of these circumstances where children are born into unacceptable circumstances and families who desire children can't have them, where we can work with God to make these things become good. And this is not presumption to do God's work with Him. This is what we are called to do. Remember, when Jesus asked what He did, He said, "I do what I see the Father doing." And we know that God's heart is for orphans. So let's look at that for a minute. We saw some of the scriptures up here in my video. But also, in the beginning, when God first established a chosen people, His own family, the Israelites, He gave them the law in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And shortly after that, in Exodus 22, verse 22, He also gave us this instruction about orphans and widows, which He repeats all through Scripture. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. And in other scriptures throughout the Old Testament and into the New, God shows us that He cares about children who do not have parents. The book of James, Jesus' half-brother, told us this. In chapter 1, verse 27, he said that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. He lays it out pretty simply. Religion that God finds acceptable is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And it's interesting because our situation, our spiritual life in Christ, is the same. Because Paul explains to us in other sections of the Bible, but most specifically, again, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, his letter to the Romans, verses 32 and 34, he says this: "We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved." So it's not only physical orphans that exist here on the earth. We are spiritual orphans as well, and we long for that time when we can come into the true family that God has created for us. So if we take the time to do a little honest introspection, we can understand what these children here on earth and our temporal lives who long for family experience and what they go through. All right. Now, with all this in mind, probably about 20 years ago, a gentleman by the name of Ken Hutcherson, those of you who follow football will know that he played linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys and then the Seattle Seahawks. In the early 80s, he became an ordained pastor, and this whole issue of orphans in the United States began to wear on him. And he went to his congregation. It's Antioch Bible Church over in Kirkland, one of the large churches over there. They meet in a school as well. He went to his congregation and said, "I have a burden that we remove the barriers to adoption for the people in the church, because it is not the government who should be caring for these social issues. It is us, the church." So he got his elders to approve the distribution of $20,000. And actually, he couldn't even give that much away. He went to his congregation and distributed $20 here, $30 there, $16,000, and said, "Take this money, put it to work, bring it back in 6 months, and with those funds, we will begin an adoption ministry where people pay no fees." Because it just irritated him that it cost to adopt a child, that adoption became a business. And he said, "We want to make it available for these children to find homes, children in our society who need homes without the financial burden that it's been." And his congregation came back later with $280,000, and Antioch Adoptions was born. As I said, we are a no-fee adoption agency. All I charge my clients is $100. That covers their food for the weekend where we train them. That covers training materials and doing a criminal history background check, because that's required. But other than that, we charge our clients nothing. And even though we will work with them to do a private adoption, which is where a woman has a child and decides to give that baby up for adoption, the main thrust of our ministry is to place kids who are already in the system. So I am actively recruiting people who are interested to take God's words at face value and open their homes to one of these children who needs a family. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly, these kids aren't perfect, as opposed to those of you who have had biological children and have turned out perfect, right? It's true, you know. At least with an older kid, you know what you're getting, you know. You don't have the surprise when that little bundle of joy comes out and you're going, "Oh my gosh, what's this kid going to grow up to be?" Well, look at your own lives, you know. Did your parents get what they planned on? In more ways than one, right, Paul? But God makes it clear what his heart is for these things. And the last scripture we had up there, that's a heavy one. Jesus said, "Anyone who accepts one of these children in my name not only welcomes me, but welcomes God into his home as well." It's a heavy thing. All right. And where are these kids coming from that I am asking you to consider adopting? These are true stories. These are kids that right now are working, have placed in my families. There's one, it's a young family, his parents were neglecting him. This kid has been in the system for a long time. Finally, we found a family who was willing to take him in permanently. This family was 6 months away from adopting this young boy, and dad was tragically killed in a car accident. No fault of his own, on his way to work. The family could no longer take him. This kid has been through the ringer. But in the process of this, we did find an excellent family, well-trained parents, parents who are understanding and experienced in dealing with troubled youth, who have already adopted a couple kids, as well as having two biologically of their own, and they literally live on a cattle ranch. Dad and mom are cowboys and cowgirls. But they've opened their home to this kid, and in another 2 months, Bo will change his title from foster kid lost a son. Now we have another one, another family. This young man was 7 months old when he was placed with one of my families. Actually came into the system earlier than that. We have no idea who his biological father is, and we probably never will nail it down. Because a gentleman who we think is his father, but who denies it, has been deported. Mom, the only time we know where mom is, biological mom, is when she's in jail, tragically. Got a substance abuse problem, and that's where she is. His maternal aunt, who has his older two sisters, can't take him, but one of our families has opened their home. In another 2 months, AJ is going to change his title from foster kid to son. Then the last one, young man, 3 years old. This kid, biological dad, broke his femur and his wrist, both of them. Lived in a violent home. Not only abused his mother physically, but abused the boy as well. And this guy's still out there running around somewhere. But a single mom who all her life desired to have children and has tried every other method, foreign adoption, every other method to have a child, finally connected with the Cedro. And it was literally a match made in heaven. Because in another 3 months, Izzy is going to be in a home with a mom who loves him, where he is safe, where he is cared for, and his name will no longer be foster kid, it will be son. Because we need to remember, these children come from horrendous circumstances. These children come from the world of the enemy, who is a ravaging liar. And their hope for redemption is not the state. Their hope for redemption is the love, grace, mercy, and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ expressed through us. This is where we can join with God, just as Jesus did, and do the work that we saw and we see the Father doing. Because these kids need homes. So we know what Jesus says about these kids. I mentioned the verse, you saw it already, but think of the power of this promise. Jesus walks into town, his disciples are with him, and you know what moms do. Don't pray for me, pray for my kid. You know, so they go up to him, and I can just see Jesus kneeling down in the dirt, sitting down and getting the kids in his laps. I mean, he's not this, oh, bless you, my child. You know, as we might be led to believe, Jesus was real. He loved these children. I'm sure he got down in the nitty-gritty with them to the point where the disciples said, this has got to stop. This man's too important. And he said, no, let the kids come to me. Let them come. And not only that, let me tell you a secret. Let me make you a promise. Anyone who accepts one of these children accepts me. And anyone who accepts me accepts the Father who sent me. In doing this work, we are doing the work of God. And like I said earlier, this is not easy stuff. This is challenging. And sometimes people have told me, you need to lighten up a little bit and tell people about the potential joys of all this. Well, I believe in throwing down a challenge. I really do. Because parenthood is a challenge. I don't care if you adopt children. I don't care if you do temporary foster care. I don't care if you have biological children. It is scary business. It is challenging. And the interesting thing about Christianity, it is not the great things that are important to us. You think about it, Christianity is a whole process, religion, whatever you want to call it, of contradictions. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, what must you do? Become a servant of all. If you want to be first in the kingdom of God, what must you do? You have to be last. And you look at the man who Jesus said was greatest in the kingdom of God, John the Baptist. Look at the power. Look at the dynamic. Look at the ministry of this man. This man who feared nothing. Who was the forerunner of Christ himself. Look how he died. This does not look like success. But in God's economy, this is the greatest thing that could have happened. Because if we have the opportunity to reflect on our lives at the times when our lives are coming to the end, It will not be the blessings, the BMWs, the second vacation homes that we look back on and see meaning and find meaning to our lives. The things that bring meaning to our lives will be the challenges that we accepted and possibly not even succeeded at, but rose to and out of the motivation of the grace, love, and mercy of Jesus Christ did the best job we could. And frankly, that's what we are asking you to do when thinking about partnering with Antioch Adoptions to open up your homes. Now, this is what you can do for us. First of all, pray for us, definitely. Okay, this ministry is a faith-based ministry. We operate by collecting no fees from our clients. And we're doing God's will, so we need your prayer. Second of all, help us spread the word. Okay, if you know somebody, I've got business cards, I have information out here, I'd be glad to share with you. If you know someone who is interested in doing this type of ministry or just learning more, please let them know about us. And third, in all honesty, considering either opening your home, becoming an adoptive family in this way, or supporting those who do. I know there's adoptive families in this church. I know there are foster care families in this church. God bless you. It's a great thing. Think about it for yourself, and think about supporting those who do. So thanks for your time. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to do what Jesus did while he was here, to see what you are doing and join in that work. I just ask your blessing on everyone who's here. I ask your blessing on Pastor Andrew and thank him for the time to let us share. And I just ask that all of our hearts would be touched and all of our hearts would long to continue to do your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.